Welcome back, readers and romance seekers, to Hopelessly Romantic Behind the Page. I hope you're keeping warm and cozy as winter comes in, or if you're from one of those weird places that doesn't get cold in December like a proper state, I hope you are using sunscreen. Yes, I am from one of those weird sunny places, why are you asking? Yeah, it was kind of weird growing up in Central Florida, just a little bit odd. So yeah, definitely looking back, it was really odd during Christmas. I would watch all of those Christmas movies and those specials with their holiday episode shows, and for whatever reason, every single time in all of that media, there would always be a fresh white snowfall on Christmas Day. And cute little Heather, sitting in her shorts and a t-shirt, confused as all get out. I didn't even know what actual snow was like until I was well into my adulthood. And because you can't escape Disney living down there, I was also exposed to the magical Disney soap bubble snow, and that did not help any of my perceptions when it came to the precipitation, as we could say. I remember wishing every single year for snow on Christmas morning. And I would just go, I want Christmas snow. And my parents would go like, oh, sweetie, you're so cute. You're not going to get the Christmas snow. And then, you know, they take us to Disney and go, here you go, there's some snow. I'm like, no, that's not what I want. I want to be able to hit my brother with a snowball. That's what I'm talking about. After a while, I wised up and I stopped asking for Christmas snow. So sad times, but now I get some snow. Now I get to be the adult that has to deal with snow and all that it entails, including shoveling the walk. I feel bamboozled for some reason. But enough of that. I am getting way off topic. Let's go ahead and get into why we are actually here. Christmas data breach. I was pretty excited because it has been a while since we had a gold shelf winner onto our into our collection. Like I said last week, it was exactly what I would expect picking up a romantic mystery. I really, really had my doubts on this particular book, mostly because of Cold Case Colorado. I was bitten pretty badly, and I was afraid to let love in. Yeah, sure, okay. I really do feel like the use of the lost lovers found gambit is one of the better ways to approach a suspenseful or mystery novel. We're not distracted by any kind of blooming romance. We're not like, you know, looking at two strangers who are too busy trying to solve a mystery, and then all of a sudden they want to suck each other's faces. So instead, we actually get to watch people who already have feelings for one another as they navigate the problem, and they are brought together by the problem, and whatever feelings they had before are reignited by the closeness and the common goal. It almost kind of reminded me of, what was it, An Inconvenient Duke? Let me look. No, An Unexpected Earl. Never mind. Unexpected Earl from episode 6. Wow, I am lost there. Yes, that was the Sourcebook's historical novel that we looked at, and that was not a murder mystery exactly, but it was a suspense action novel with romance that had a lost lovers found gambit, for sure. And I thought that really fit in well with that novel, and it really works here inside of Christmas Data Breach. And I just kept thinking of that, and honestly, I'm pretty thrilled with it. I will say that I'm a little bit afraid that I kind of stepped in it a bit when I was talking about cancer research, but it might be because I was really frustrated with the fact that I had no idea how Maya was conducting her research. It was basically show, don't tell, run amok. So are you surprised to see a book with my greatest sin onto the Gold Star shelf? I mean, I might be a little surprised, honestly. But really, there is a big difference when it comes to telling us about emotions that our characters are having or what the motivations are, and between trying to explain a process that's, you know, let's be frank here, a very slim portion of the population even begin to barely understand. I will say that Irwin's monologue at the end was also a big telling instead of showing moment, but he is a villain. Come on, it's in the job description. See, it says it right here. Must monologue when the hero has sussed them out and is attempting to escape their dastardly plot. But yeah, I was frustrated just a little bit when they talk about how the treatment worked, not the why, though. I can't remember if I fully explained this in the episode, but I'm going to go over it again real quick. Irwin began his search for a treatment for glioblastoma brain cancer after it killed one of his sons. It kind of wrecked his life a little bit, so he threw himself into research, and he developed two parts of a treatment for the brain cancer. But after he failed to deliver a full success, his board forced him out, and Maya was appointed the director of the TriGen lab. And now Maya was the one who developed the final piece that they needed, a third part of that treatment. According to the text, Maya's contribution is what makes it all work. Without her formula, Irwin's treatment is useless. They explained this to us, and it was also kind of a little rough to kind of remember, is like, you know, what research is where. She talked about her server, which I'm pretty sure has all three parts of the research. Irwin had like a whole bunch of the research as well, but her personal laptop and the backup she made on the thumb drive, I think that only contains the third part of the research. So I'm not sure. It's hard to say because Adam was like chasing her and she was like, oh, if you shoot me, I'll go into the water and everything is in this bag and that's going to go into the water too. So I don't know how much of her research they actually had. I don't know, but it didn't bother me that much. So with the three-part treatment, it might just be me, but I've got no clue on how that's supposed to work. They don't discuss any of the science or even how these studies were conducted. But it is the most fantastical part of this novel. We would love for a treatment for brain cancer to come up and save the world. But alas, perhaps we don't know what it looks like in the novel because we don't know what it will look like in real life. Have we gone beyond using chemo and surgery? Are we done with radiation? Who knows? You'll notice that I am saying the word treatment instead of cure, because I don't know if we'll ever get past the point where we're just calling it treatment, you know, the treatment phase for cancer. Because there's a reason cancer survivors get constant checkups every year to see if the cancer has returned. A cure would eliminate the need for this entirely, and as horrible as it is, cancer is just so hard to pin down. It's not even really just one disease. That's why there's so many different charities devoted to one specific type of cancer. Cancer is just a catch-all term for a ton of different ailments that all act in a similar way to one another. And even attacking just one of those ailments is exceedingly difficult. I'm going to go ahead and stop here before I get too personal. I've known a lot of cancer with my friends and family, but these are my general thoughts on it. So I would have liked to see a little bit more about the actual science behind the cancer treatment, but again, we don't know what that would possibly look like. Anyway, as for the book, I'm still trying to decide how I feel about the inclusion of Adam at the end. We don't know much about Irwin from the start. We get that information trickled out to us bit by bit, as it should be. But when we find out that he had one surviving son who did time in prison, the pieces start getting into place a little bit faster. It's just pretty much a sudden detour on our trip through the book. But those are honestly just little nitpicks, because when I give the books their final rating in my podcast, I'm looking to see if they effectively delivered what I was looking for when I opened the story. And Christmas Data Breach more than delivered. I was pretty satisfied with the novel, and I really recommend you add it to your shelf. For now, we're going to go ahead and step out of Christmas Town for a little bit and look into what Heather's been reading this week. Well, I am currently reading Gods Behaving Badly by Marie Phillips. Excuse me. This is a British novel from 2007, and I will say as gently as I can, it does show its age, but that doesn't mean I'm not enjoying it. Basically, it follows the lives of the Greek pantheon, you know, the Big 12 on Olympus, as they are stuck in a little townhome flat in the middle of London. I stumbled onto this book through a This American Life episode, where the author wrote a little vignette for the show featuring Charon, the boatman who ferries souls to the underworld. You know that fellow, he basically takes you through the underworld and gets you to where you need to go, only if you have a coin with you to hand over as fare. So, you know, maybe put a coin in your pocket when they take care of things at the end. Anyway, you should know going in that the book is very British. I mean that in the best way possible, but if dry British humor is not your cup of tea, you might not enjoy this as much. I'm only a quarter of the way through it right now, but I've been as busy as I'll get out, so I don't know much about it yet. I will say the opening was a little funny, because Artemis, the goddess of chastity, hunting, and the moon, is out running and walking some dogs, because of course, and she comes across a woman who's been turned into a tree by her brother Apollo, because it's Apollo. And there was a moment where she's like, oh, Artemis, I've never heard of you. And Artemis is like, oh my gosh, the non-believers are just so many. Nobody knows who we are anymore. I'm like, I highly doubt that there isn't at least middle school, if not high school class that doesn't touch on Greek mythology at some point in part of your world history class. So for me, that's a little sus, only because like if Artemis had come up to me and she's like, I'm Artemis, I'd be like, oh, I know exactly who you are and what you're all about. The only thing is that's going to be a challenge is I don't believe who you are. You tell me that you're the goddess Artemis, I'll be like, okay, and which facility did you walk out of? But it's been fun so far, and I'm really interested to see how this goes. So speaking of the Greek gods, I have also been listening to The Spirits podcast. If you like folklore and cocktails, I highly recommend this show. The hosts are so funny and likable, and it's like you're hanging out at a chill bar talking with your friends about a ghost story that you heard last week. They did a few episodes on the Greek gods, so I guess I've been in a mythology mood. Listening to the Apollo episode was hilarious because I kept looking at my dog, Apollo, and admonishing him for his namesake's misdeeds, but I did give him plenty of treats, I promise. I don't hold him to it. I am very much looking forward if they do episodes for Hades and Hermes. I do think that'll be it for me this week. It's been really crazy around here, honestly. I love the holidays, but sometimes it can just be really exhausting. And then you gotta deal with that awful Christmas hangover when January comes around and everyone really just starts hating on winter and nothing's fun anymore. So take time for yourself. Make sure you take a moment to breathe, relax. And if that means you gotta like go inside, shut your door, turn off your phone, then by all means, just take time for yourself, okay? Keep warm, stay safe, get your COVID boosters, all that jazz. I will see you next week when we read Lord Grantwell's Christmas Witch by Diane Gaston. Thank you for joining me, readers and romance seekers, and I hope to see you once again for Hopelessly Romantic. If you like the show, please visit us at hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. If you have questions or want to recommend a read, please email us at contact@hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. Also, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will go a long way to help the show, and I can keep bringing you lots of fun episodes. The show is written and produced by me, Heather Songster. Our technical advisor is Kwang Hin Cho, and Hopelessly Romantic is an H-Book K production. And remember, it doesn't matter what you read, only that it's what you love.